Hey, Up First listeners, it's Rachel, and we're going to tell you about this project that we've been doing. It started about a year ago, just after the COVID pandemic completely upended life.
President Donald Trump declares a national emergency in the U.S. response to the coronavirus pandemic.
In 8 weeks, more than half of Californians will be infected with
the coronavirus pandemic has hit a bleak new milestone in the
U.S. Across the country, death counts were mounting, the economy was tanking, schools and businesses had shut down. Remember those food shortages in the grocery stores? Yes, the toilet paper was gone from the shelves, and it all just felt so unsettled. It was frightening at times. And we were all looking for ways to process it. One place that we turned to was music. We started asking musicians to write original songs about what they were experiencing and then talk to us about it. We called it the Morning Edition Song Project, and we wanted to share it with you. Today, we're going to hear three of our favorite episodes.
What I really wanted to do was to write a song that felt like God Bless America. But I also wanted to have a little This Land Is Your Land, too.
That's the voice of Ketch Secor. He's the lead singer of Old Crow Medicine Show. He talked to David Green in our first segment last June.
We as songwriters, we got to keep adding to the canon of songs about America because we need to update it. These are troubling times and we need new songs about our country to inspire unity.
When sorrows are befalling and shadows darken her door, when the fever spreads and a silent scourge outshines the golden shore.
So this is the song Ketch wrote, Pray for America. When we approached him last May, we asked him to write a song about the pandemic. The demonstrations, sparked by the police killing of George Floyd, hadn't started yet. But Ketch said he hoped his song would speak to that as well.
America, to thee, may God's hand outreach. Lord, have mercy on America.
When you write music, you're trying to make universal statements. Great songs like Blowing in the Wind, they're not about particular vantage points. They're not about any particular side or affiliation. Great songs are there for all to enjoy and for all to see themselves in. So writing a song about COVID-19, if it's any good, it ought to be able to translate from a global pandemic to a cry for justice.
Pray for America, our promised land.
In 2020, Ketch saw a tornado rip through his hometown of Nashville. During the pandemic, he lost work, he saw relatives get sick. When we spoke, it was the cry for racial justice that was on Ketch's mind, and it's actually something the band has been talking about a lot. Their drummer, Jerry Pentecost, is one of the few African Americans on Nashville's mostly white country music scene, and he was with Ketch when we talked.
To me, the problem when I talk to people and I tell them what I do, I play drums in country bands, you know, like from both sides, people are like, really? You know, I don't see anything weird about it, but black and white people alike are always kind of thrown off by it or assume that I have another gig, you know, with a gospel band, that this is just like my paycheck on the side.
Jerry is also a big runner, so when a black jogger, Ahmaud Arbery, was chased by white men and fatally shot in Georgia, Jerry thought about himself.
I think it's probably the one thing that's affected me the most because I'm an avid jogger. I've been jogging since high school. Every time I lace up my shoes and I leave the house, I give my wife a kiss goodbye because, like, that could be the last time that I get to do that.
You think about that every time you put your shoes on and go running?
Every single time. And that was before this. So now it's even more present. But I'm 6'3". I'm only 150 pounds. But because I'm tall, I feel like I'm viewed as a threat. And when we walk our neighborhood, I kind of need my wife and our dog. So that way people don't think that I'm casing their houses.
I want to ask you guys about a meeting it sounds like you had where the other members of the band, Jerry, interviewed you about race and about this moment. Can you guys take me through that? Like, whose idea was sitting down and doing that?
That was Ketch's idea, actually. Before George Floyd, I had approached him with an issue that was bothering me. It was the lack of A-list minority session players, not just black, but people of all colors and genders, and the lack of session work that comes my way, I've struggled with. And so I brought it to him, and he was like, you know, you're right. We should address it. And I feared to address it because I didn't want to be blacklisted. I didn't want people to think that, oh, he's a troublemaker. And so I sat on it for a little bit, and then George Floyd happened. You know, Ketch was like, well, why don't we sit down and like just kind of like talk about it? You know, like it might be nice just to get some of this stuff off of your chest. So I told some experiences. It was painful. They were very, very supportive. And yeah, we talked for like an hour and a half, and he was right. I had been holding on to so much from, you know, like dating girls whose fathers didn't accept me. So the girl would tell them I was gay so that we could hang out, all the way to being pulled over because I just happened to be in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time and being harassed by the cops, being arrested, you know, like being handcuffed for no reason.
Lord have mercy.
So Ketch, Pray for America, can you kind of take me through the songwriting process a little, like what inspired it and what you were reaching for?
Well, David, you know, we're down here in Tennessee, and all along roadside America in the South, you'll see these signs that say Pray for America. And yet they don't often make me feel a spirit of unity. It often feels like Pray for America because things are wrong with America that have to do with a political spectrum. And so I kind of wanted to take the page of just make it holy, just make it really asking God. So I don't know if God knows what America is, but if God does, then I hope that the Great Spirit will lay a blessing on us, man, because we need it pretty bad here in this country.
Jerry, what's on your mind as you're playing drums on this song and listening to the lyrics?
Basically just the American dream. Who's it for? Because to me, the American dream, I'm sure mine is completely different than yours. And, you know, like I hope that we all can like land on the same page.
So after we spoke, Ketch Secor, Jerry Pentecost, and Old Crow Medicine Show performed Pray for America for us.
America, to thee, make God's hand.
We'll have more songs after the break. Over the past 12 months, David Green and I talked to 25 different artists. Together, their songs are sort of like a musical time capsule. We heard from people who had gotten really sick from COVID themselves, people who lost loved ones, musicians who were inspired by the protests, outraged by the police shootings or the rise in anti-Asian violence. There were so many things to write about, and yet we heard over and over from artists that it's actually really tough to write about the history you're living through. Take David's interview with the Indigo Girls. A lot of their songs are like cultural commentary. And yet, when we invited them to do a song for this project last summer, singer Amy Ray had serious reservations.
I love the project idea, but I was worried about trying to write about these times and how complex it is, because there are so many layers right now. And I almost feel like without some distance on it and some perspective, it's hard to write a song about. So I was voicing my skepticism about our ability to do that, actually.
And yet Amy, who lives in rural Dahlonega, Georgia, did come up with an idea, almost by accident.
I had just talked to some friends who were really pent up and just wanted to go out, you know, party and get it out of their systems. And I was trying to, like, be the voice of reason and say, like, you know, it's probably better to be safe right now. And I was talking to my mom, and she was talking about wanting to go out to eat with friends. And I just started writing about that.
Come on, we all want to go there. Rave it up, pull it down, fill it up till we're senseless. Escape the loneliness and anger. Lose the compass that God gave you.
And so Amy sent a few lines to her partner, the other Indigo girl, Emily Saliers, and invited her to co-write the song you are hearing right now. It is called Long Ride.
Well, I was personally thrilled that she had come up with the idea. On the one hand, it meant that I didn't have to come up with the idea. And I was also excited about the fact that we hadn't written a song together in 30 years. But it's gonna be a long ride. Hang on, my friend. I know
I get it. It's gonna be a long ride. That's right. It was the mid-90s when Indigo Girls last wrote a song together, and they had only done it once before then. Emily, who lives in Decatur, Georgia, says our project was the inspiration. But Amy says the pandemic, which forced them to cancel shows and spend way less time together, played a role too.
We're used to being on tour and on a bus together and all this creativity that happens because you're just in the same space. Writing a song together kind of helped add into that void that we're kind of missing by just being around each other.
Well, who do you feel like you're speaking to in this song?
When I first started speaking, it was to me and kind of telling myself, like, hang on, this is going to take a long time to, like, get through this. But I was also talking to, like, my friends and my family and just, like, everybody I know that was trying to give up. People that I know that were alone in an apartment for 3 months in New York City, things like that.
This is Emily. It's very hard to judge what anybody is going through right now or how they're reacting to it. So I liked the sort of camaraderie of, like, it's going to be a long ride, I know. And then we kind of shifted the perspective to asking the question, have you been a witness to this yet? And if you haven't, here's what's going on.
Well, there is a line in the song about food pantries and seeing so many more people coming there for help. I mean, is that something you've been witnessing firsthand?
Yeah.
How bad is it?
I mean, this is Amy. We have a great place called the Community Helping Place that does food pantry and just, it does everything. So I just went down there and worked a couple days a week, and I just noticed so many people coming in that had never had food support at all, ever. People would just be like telling me their stories while I was gathering the food or filling out their cards. And it was transformative for me.
Indigo Girls were also highly inspired by the Black Lives Matter protests. And you can hear that in the song.
As a nation, have to acknowledge that racism is rampant in this country. We have to start there before we can even start to dismantle the systems that allow it to carry on.
Well, what is your message about what to do with that anger? I mean, I was really struck that in the song you sing, "Don't let violence claim you." What are you telling people about what balance they should try and find?
Well, to each their own, I guess, in some ways. But what we're saying is, I mean, when I started thinking about that, I honestly was thinking about how I believed that we were being baited sometimes to be more violent and to cause more problems. And that when you take that bait and you give into that, you're doing exactly what they want you to do. We cannot take that bait, even though we want to, even though it feels like the right thing to do, even when they're beating you over the head. You have got to figure out a way to being a peaceful protester. And that's just my own feeling. I think that there are a lot of different opinions about that, and I respect them. That's what I was feeling. I mean, what do you think, Emily?
I agree with you that it's very, very hard to resist violence when you're getting beaten over the head. It's an easy bait to take. I can never speak for a person of color in this country of how I would react personally, but I know that sympathizers to the Black Lives Movement cannot be bringing guns and shooting the other side, because then it's just a civil war. It grows and grows and grows. Don't take the bait and let violence claim
you. Don't forget the work because it changes. Do you all think a song like this one that you've brought to us has the power to change people's behavior? What might the impact be?
Jeez, I mean, who knows? Like, we don't know. I think a song can keep you company, you know? Music does change people and is a catalyst and brings people together and has a certain energy to validate what you're feeling. So sing songs of freedom.
Listen, what an honor to both talk to the two of you and have you bring this song. So thank you.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That was Emily Saliers and Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls back in September. Their song is called Long Ride. More after the break. Okay, back to our song project. Some people are going to remember the pandemic because of the very personal losses they suffered, their own grief and pain. Others will remember the isolation, the long days that started to just blend into one another. A lot of musicians told us it was the first time in their lives they had been off the road for so long, the first time they had a routine or slept in the same bed every night. And they also talked about missed opportunities, especially the younger artists, like our next guest, who saw her career interrupted just as it was starting to take off. We talked in February.
I am Madison Cunningham. I am a singer-songwriter musician who currently resides in Los Angeles, California, and I'm 24 years old.
Round and round this broken rat race, stumbling and stopping on window shopping for love, for fame, for anything that would take.
Madison Cunningham wrote this song for us called Broken Harvest about something a lot of young adults might find familiar, finally feeling ready to come into your own and then suddenly having to put your life on pause. At one point, 2020 seemed to be all lined up for her.
I was going to open for Mandy Moore. I was going to do like my first headlining tour, which would have been super fun. and that would have dropped me into playing a show at Madison Square Garden, opening up for the great Harry Styles.
Wow.
So I think by the time the last thing had gotten scrapped, I wasn't surprised. I was just sorely disappointed and having a really hard time figuring out how to keep my hopes in a realistic place, but also in an optimistic place.
Just say.
Instead of touring, all that was left was to stay at home and try to write. But there wasn't much to be creative about.
It was interesting to figure out how to find myself in that again.
Yeah.
And to detach like what it was that I was doing from success. Because success is definitely important, but it's not everything. And it's certainly not the thing that really keeps your creativity intact.
Right.
So that was almost, in a way, in retrospect, it was a really sweet thing too. Where I was like, getting to come back to square one, getting reacquainted with the reasons that I first came into music and the reason that I fell in love with it.
So tell me about this song. I mean, when we talked the first time, we agreed that you would write about having your dreams kind of put on hold indefinitely. How did you set out to tell this story in this music?
Yeah, when I got that songwriting prompt, which I think to be specific, it was Dreams Deferred, which resonated with me right away. But as I kind of started digging into it, I kept feeling like my approach was too specific almost. It kind of started to get into the territory of maybe being a little whiny and sort of complaining. So I kind of wanted to touch on the idea that we've always had to face loss. We've always had to deal with death. We've always had to deal with failure, mm-hmm. with all of those things. And it forced us all to look at not only the deeper illness, not just the symptoms, but just what's most important in our lives and what we value most and who are the people that we need to tell right here and now that we love. So that was where I got the line, all things fade away.
What do I know? What do I hold that will not fade away? All things fade away.
As fatalist as it sounds, it was a very hopeful idea to me. that we were literally born into this reality, that to me told me we're made to face this so we can get through it. So that was my attempt at being somewhat hopeful on the heels of 2020.
Yeah. I mean, do you have friends in your life who have suffered serious career setbacks as a result of the last year?
I mean, everyone that I know has been pretty much in the same boat, just because it was hard to, like, you know, you have the initial momentum and there's no way to continue it because there's no road. There's no, you know, people only tune into your Zoom concert so much. I've loved to see how innovative people have become dealing with the brokenness of it and trying to put it back together. But there's also severe limitations to where even the most creative, I think, come to their wit's end.
You write in the song, "When you're living on a dreamer's salary, a broken harvest feels like robbery." And I understand this came from a little pandemic binge watching of yours. Tell me.
I was trying to avoid this somehow, which I've been told by sources that I shouldn't be ashamed, but I was binge watching Little House on the Prairie this summer and into the fall and winter.
Absolutely, you should not be ashamed. Are you kidding me? It's classic.
Well, I grew up on it and I needed a little bit. I wanted escapism.
You needed Paul Ingalls. You needed some Paul.
Yes. When you're living on a dreamer's salary, a broken harvest feels like robbery. What do I do this for? If it's just gonna pour out easily. There's one episode in particular where it shows them literally preparing all year for a harvest. And one night there's just like a crazy unexpected hailstorm and then it ruins everything and then they're set back a whole other year.
I remember this episode.
Yeah.
And then it's all over, right? Because it's just one bad storm.
Yeah. I was impacted by that because there was literally nothing that he could have done better. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was viewing like artists as farmers for a second, us passionately, carefully planting our seeds so that they can grow in time for, you know, the harvest. And then 2020, the big fat hailstorm comes and now what, you know? Again, like I think even in the concept of it being a broken harvest, there's also this like, this fresh feeling of starting over.
Yeah.
Even though it speaks about the fractured nature of where we're at right now, I think it also implies that it can definitely be mended.
Madison, thank you so much for writing this for us and letting us share it with the world, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me a reason to write this song.
That's Madison Cunningham with her song Broken Harvest. You can find this story and all the others, along with the full songs, at npr.org. Just look up the Morning Edition Song Project and check out our final episode on Morning Edition on June 9th. Our series was edited and produced by Vince Pearson with help from Taylor Haney. This is Up First from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. Come back tomorrow. We'll have all the news you need to start your day.
What happens to police officers who get caught stealing, lying, or tampering with evidence? Each week, we open up an internal affairs investigation that used to be secret to find out how well the police police themselves. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.